All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
President Obama released his tax returns. It turns out he made $900,000 less in 2011 than he did in 2010. You know what that means? Even Obama is doing worse under President Obama. So that can't be good. That can't be good. Well, in an interview with The Atlantic, that magazine, President Obama said he prefers Jay-Z to Kanye. That's what he says. Did you know Obama was a fan of hip-hop? Did you know that? In fact, he has his own rap nickname. Biggie Deficit. That's his name.
Welcome to the show. It's Reese on the Radio, and we are live right here on blogtalkradio.com. Now, first, let me make this announcement. I have sent out a message to Michael Lohan, who was on our show some months ago. And we're going to bring him back because of this Dr. Phil interview with Dina Lohan that some people in the quote-unquote entertainment biz are talking about. So let me say that first. I sent out a message to his publicist and let them know that we'd like to have Michael Lohan back. We had a great interview with him when he was here some months ago. We talked about Lindsay Lohan and the production of that Liz Taylor film, and so we're going to have him back. Trust me, we're going to have some fun with him again because Dina Lohan looked like a drunk, stupid fool. And we're going to talk to him about that. So we'll work on that, and we will work on that diligently. Not like that's what it is that we do here on Reese on the Radio, but I think it's appropriate. We try to stay current. And now for the Reese on the Radio monologue. My monologue today on this, September 18, 2012, is about my absolute anger with the liberal media. Now, I've not shied away from this subject, and everyone knows exactly my position on the liberal media and why I am so angered by them. But as I go on and I go to these conservative websites who are pointing out the liberal media bias today, I find myself doing something that I never thought that I would do. I went through what we call stages against the liberal media. And in the beginning, I can even go so far as saying as early as 2008, I laughed. I laughed hysterically about liberal media bias. I had fun with it. And I joked about it, as many people do. You know, I joked about it. I made a joke about it. I would find some humor in it. I would parody these people and mock them. But now I find myself in a different position. And this is why I'm more upset today than anything, is that now I find myself in a state of anger. Now, why is that? Why am I so angry? Well, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I'm angry. Is because what I've learned and have seen so far through liberal media is that the agenda is more important than reality. The agenda is more important than facts. And they control this medium. They are in control of it. And I don't know if my reaction is bitter. I don't know if my reaction is I guess a bitterness is the best way to put it. It's like I'm bitter. These guys have control and they get to control the message. And I want more I want more fairness. And I feel like a screaming child. I feel like I'm out there screaming. It's like, well, why can't they be fair? Why can't they tell the truth? Why won't they? And I feel that way because I don't know whether or not my anger is about the fact that they won't be fair or that I'm some sort of petulant child who's like, you know, if you got kids or if you've ever seen a kid who just falls on his back and he's just stomping and screaming, you know, I want candy. I want candy in the supermarket. It brings to me to what it is that my mother would do in all of this. And then I tell you a story. And my mom loves to tell this story to, she told this story to all my girlfriends growing up. She loves telling this story. So I'm at my grandmother's home, which incidentally, my mother and my youngest sister live in now. We've owned this home for 40 years. My mom tells me this story that my mom went grocery shopping and she's walking back to my grandmother's house. She's got three bags full of groceries she's holding in her hand. She didn't have a cart. And I wanted my mother to carry me. As a child, I don't know any better. I don't look at this as sort of, you know, my mom can't do this. I don't care. I'm caught up in my own needs as a four-year-old. Yes, mom's carrying three bags, but carry me too. If you can carry three bags, you can carry one more bag. is what I'm thinking as a four-year-old. I'm unreasonable, without a doubt. But my mother, seeing me walk down the street screaming and crying, and my mother's going, no, baby, I can't. I can't carry you. I got the bags. And she is trying to reason with a four-year-old. Stupid as that may have been. But I'm still screaming and I'm hollering. So I do the one thing that you never ever do to a mother, especially this particular mother, who in many ways is callous and can be cruel. I plop my butt right on the street. No, no, folks, not the sidewalk. The street. As we're crossing the street, I hit the floor and scream at the top of my lungs that I want her to carry me, and I am absolutely unresponsive. I don't care about what my mother continued to walk furious. Walked into the home of my grandmother, placed the bags down inside the home, left me there, sitting my butt in the middle of the street. Cars could have been crossing, you know, going by. Luckily, they did not. But my mom walks right back outside. She grabs me by my left hand, picks me up, and whips my ass all the way back to my mother's house, to my grandmother's house. Whips it. Now, I bring this as an analogy. What I'm saying here is that what we need to do as a country today is to grab liberal media by its left hand and whip its ass. Because they know what it is that they want, but they don't care. They're not in any way whatsoever concerned with reason here. They're only concerned with agenda. I learned a long time ago, he who controls the agenda controls the conversation, or he who controls the conversation controls the agenda. And they have controlled the conversation. They say that this is fact, and therefore we're forced to believe it because they are the media. Who else are you going to listen to? Who else are you going to believe? They don't even care that there's an alternative media out there. They're reluctant to care that there is an alternative media out there that will fact check them, that will pretty much put their feet to the fire. They don't care. They're in some sort of state of denial. Yeah, but not everybody is online. Not everybody reads the blogs. Not everybody is going to Breitbart or Drudge Report. Not everybody looks at those that alternative media. So they'll continue the narrative. They'll continue the lies. Now, see, I find myself angered by this. Why am I angered? Probably because I don't see enough fight. Now, I watched Fox News. I'm a big supporter of the Fox News Network, the Fox News Channel. Huge supporter of that network. But they're the only ones around. I mean, you got Fox News, and then everyone else is a liberal contributor. Outside of that, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS. They keep claiming, no, we're not biased. But they continue to support not just the president, because I don't want to make this about Obama, but just liberalism in general. They've decided where it is that they stand, and that's it. They don't care about their ratings plummeting. They don't care about their credibility plummeting. They don't care. They will continue to sell this bull over and over again. And the frustration is palpable. I heard Rush Limbaugh today on the air curse. He said bullshit on the air. He was edited out, but he said it on the air because he was so frustrated. And I see it. Right now is the most frustrating time I've ever seen in my lifetime about people who are angered by what the liberal media is doing and what this liberal White House is doing, Jake Carney, the press secretary, what they're saying, what they're doing. The frustration is palpable. And I don't know what to do about it. I don't know how to respond to it. And I want so badly to be that guy who said something that's so radical that really gets that attention. I'm sorry, folks, and I know I'm gonna say something a little controversial here. But I look at this and say, you ever notice how these radicals who want to make a point, how they do something absolutely profound, get me where I'm coming from here. You know, Timothy McVeigh was so angered about Waco that he bombed the Murrow Building in Oklahoma City to make a statement. And even before his death, by lethal injection, he was still defiant. I'm not suggesting that that's what it is that I want to do, but I'm sure that you get what most of us feel because of this fear that we want to make a statement that people will really, really recognize. And I'm trying to figure out what's a decent way to do this. I am in no way suggesting that that's what it is that we need in our society today, to do something that radical. But we've got to do something. Something must be done to wake people up to the obvious. And I'm one of those people who believes that, you know, look, the only thing that people respond to is violence. So liberals believe that 100%, that the only thing that people can respond to is violence. This is why you have Occupy Wall Street and Occupy Oakland and Occupy LA doing the radical stuff that they're doing, because they believe that the only thing that they respond to is violence. You know, shooters, killers, bombers, whatever it is. That the only thing that people will respond to is violence. That's what these Islamists feel. That the only way people are going to hear us and understand our message is through violence. Now, I'll be the first to admit that according to our liberal media, it's making some headway. This is the reason why this filmmaker, this Coptic Christian, who makes this 17-minute YouTube trailer is being excoriated is because the Muslims have made headway with the liberal media that they are giving more attention to this video than they are to the people who are out there strapping bombs to themselves or coming in with RPGs and shooting and killing Americans. They pay more attention to this video. Because to them, they're saying, look at what these people are doing, and it's the video that did it. And they've succumbed. They punked out, they wimped up, they pussified themselves. So what's the alternative to that? To get the liberal media to understand that we won't tolerate it anymore. What do we do to attack these people in a fair-minded, honest way and get them to acknowledge the truth? Because they won't. They refuse to talk about the truth, to talk about the subjects that matter, to talk about the news that's important, and keep pushing an agenda-based news. Now, I'm going to do something radical today. I'm going to go on the attack. I'm going to take a small little group of people, and I'm going to go on the attack. How in the world am I going to do that? I'll tell you. This is how I'm going to do it. I am going to call the Real Talk Blancers today. I don't have a choice. They're doing a show today. It's called Fat Tuesday. It's an open topic, anything goes kind of day over at Real Talk Blancers. And I'm going to join them in the middle of their show and see if we can get them to talk about these issues. Let's find out whether or not they're punking out. And find out whether or not they can deal with the honesty of the issues today. I don't think they can. And you can call up too. And to give you their number, it's 646-716-6337. Let's see if we can get them on the line right now. They're doing a
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time, and the host will be notified that there is a caller in queue. Otherwise, please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
The way that I fold, I'm going to have extra room that I can put some of my shoes in that suitcase and my shoe suitcase. But that's just because of how I fold stuff. So, I don't know. And then you got to fold it and then space it out. Like, see, you know, I got a little OCD. I'm being honest. I'm telling those in my business. I do have a bout of OCD. So, there are some things that I do that, I got a little bout.
Okay. Look at this sadness. Got some fraud talking about shoes. You get my point here, folks?
Material, I put that throughout, like the edges or whatever, but something that might be thick. Like, I always at least take one or two pair of jeans because you just never know, you know, might be cool, whatever. So those, what I'll do is layer those over, like, those would be the last two things that I put in the suitcase because I fold them in half and then I'll just layer them over everything else. And my shirts are pretty thin, but, like, you know, if I got capris or whatever, I roll them instead of like quote unquote folding them, I'll roll them. And then I'll like, if you look inside my suitcase when I first pack it, you'd be like, what the hell, who does this? But
I'm sorry. I don't even know how to respond. Now, these are grown people on the air talking about shoes, for crying out loud. How bad is this? Let's see what it is. Let me see if we can go on about it.
Oh, can you show us how to? I'm like, oh, no, y'all was laughing at me. I ain't showing y'all nothing, but I showed them.
Oh, I'm still laughing at you. Hey,
whatever.
Miss Lucy's right with her OCD. You know, you understand. You know, when she goes to dinner, she sits at dinner.
Shut
and
up.
And she takes all. Huh?
Shut up.
Okay. You know, if you start.
Okay,
walking,
go ahead. You can say it.
No, I go say your dinner stuff. When you start walking with Miss Reese, all of a sudden she just starts turning around, walking backwards. Ignore that. Just keep walking. That's just her. Because she got OCD.
I don't do that.
You know,
Stop it. You are so dumb. It's so funny because about 2 weeks ago, I had went, my picture friend, Maddie, I went over, we went somewhere.
This is absolutely embarrassing. The world is imploding. And these Negroes over at the Real Talk Blancers are talking about shoes. I don't know what to tell you, folks. I don't know what to tell you. I'm just going to take a break. Stick around. We'll be back. We got plenty of news, redistribution, and the 47% when we return to 3 Sunday Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Have you ever read the original Democrat Party platform? The original included language to protect their so-called right to force people into slavery. But Republicans are the racists because the original Republican Party platform was to abolish slavery? And when liberals are reminded of this, they always say the same thing. Yeah, well, you know what, Zoe? That was a long time ago, and you need to get over it. Really? Okay, well, you know what? Slavery itself was a long time ago. Why don't y'all get over that? Oh, but that's how you liberals are. You're always able to use something as an excuse, like slavery. But that's okay. That's okay. Let's say you can actually use slavery as an excuse. To the Afrocentric, loyal Democrat voting liberals who insist and swear up and down that the black community is still profoundly affected by slavery, even though it happened a long time ago, why don't you still hold the Democrats responsible for trying to force institutionalized slavery? Yeah, you kind of got a funny taste in your mouth right about now, don't you? Yeah, I think it's the taste of them boots you loyal Democrats, Afrocentric liberals always accuse us conservatives of licking. I'm just guessing, because unlike you, as a conservative, I really don't know what these boots taste like. Y'all have been sucking boots so long that you're oblivious to the flavor. Kind of like chewing a piece of gum long after the flavor is gone. And then you accuse black conservatives of being the bootlickers. And we can be sure that these accusations will continue as the liberals accuse me of being a whore and being paid to say these things the GOP writes for me, even though none have yet to prove that anyone writes my scripts but me. White people write Obama scripts all the time, though, and y'all don't seem too mad about him saying all the things that those white liberals want him to say. So anyway, slavery happened long ago, but you still want to use that as an excuse. Well, then be consistent. You should still hold the Democrats responsible for the KKK, Jim Crow, Dred Scott, revocation of civil rights, denial of 40 acres and a mule, segregation, anti-miscegenation, and eugenics. You know that was the Democrat Party. That's why you liberals try to use some lame excuse that the party switched sides, which is a lie anyway. And even that in itself is an admission, because the Democrats had to be the racist party to begin with to be supposedly switched anyway. The Democrat agenda is still the same, to make us subjects of the state. But now they do this under the sugar-coated guise of fairness. And as a buddy of mine, Joe Dan, reminds us, Democrats talk more about fairness than freedom. Look at Joe, put y'all back in chains, Biden. It just doesn't register with you that your party was the party that was fighting to keep chains on blacks in the first place, does it? Democrat positions don't amount to freedom. I know you liberals think that things like abortion equals freedom, but it's not exactly a lullaby of liberty for the child now, is it? So then we've got Touré, who tries to bring up names like Lee Atwater and starts backpedaling when S.E. Cupp puts in clear perspective how stupid he sounded.
Notice he says anger twice. He's really trying to use racial coding and access some really deep stereotypes about the angry black man. This is part of the playbook against Obama, the otherization. He's not like us. I know it's a heavy thing to say. I don't say it lightly, but this is niggerization. You are not one of us, and that you are like the scary black man who we've been trained to fear.
Joe Biden makes a racially charged comment, which you and many others on the left called divisive. Mitt Romney comes out, calls that comment divisive, but because he used the word angry, now his is the racially charged comment. Do you see how dishonest that is?
But I gotta ask, this playbook that Republicans have used for decades? Really? Okay, let's say you're right. Let's say you're absolutely right. Republicans use code words. Code words like, oh, I don't know, angry? Or code words like welfare? Oh my God! Oh my God, that's so evil compared to Democrats who have actually enslaved too many of the black community with welfare. And the Republicans have been trying to break the chains of welfare just as Republicans fought to break the chains of slavery when the party was founded. But Republicans are evil with their code words. That's so evil compared to the actual angry Democrats who would bomb black churches, release dogs, and open up fire hoses on blacks and use clubs on them. Oh my God, but Republicans are so evil, they use the code words. That's so much more evil than Democrats lynching blacks and lynching white Republicans too for daring to stand for blacks. The liberal mindset is so twisted and warped and backward in perspective. It's no wonder why the Bible says don't cast your pearls before swine. They'll drag you into Looneyville with them. You have to keep your engagement with them brief. Only long enough to expose their hatred, projections, their bigotry, their sexism, their straight up hypocrisy, and their lunacy. And let those who see the exchange see for themselves who the real perpetrators are. I'm Alfonso Rachel with Zonation, and I'll remind y'all to get some ammo to fire back at this loony liberal rhetoric. Get the smart bomb. Grab a copy of my audiobook, Weapon of Ass Destruction, available at my website, alfonsorachel.com. And if you don't get your copy, I'm not going to accuse you of being a right-wing, Bible-thumping, sexist, homophobic racist, but I will say that you must have some sort of fetish for being called a right-wing, Bible-thumping, sexist, homophobic racist without knowing how to readily defend yourself.
Reese on the radio, and we are back, and we are live on the air right here on blogtalkradio.com. And I'm listening to these folks over at the Real Talk Blancers, and I gotta be honest with you, never have I been so shocked. All of this major news today, whatever about those events. And this is exactly what it is that I was talking about in the opening monologue, about why it is that I get so frustrated and angry. But, you know, whatever. You know, I got to do something. Trust me, I'll find something to do. I will try to figure this out. So let's get to these comments by the President of the United States, before he was president. In October of 1998, speaking to Loyola University, the president claims that he believes in redistribution. That someone found this audio today, and whether or not this will actually get some play in the media is, it remains to be seen. NBC alluded to it briefly, even though they know that it's a story. Redistribution in this country by this president has been a major focus since 2008, since 2007 for that matter. But yet, the media has not responded when the president has been caught red-handed. So let's play the audio so you can hear it yourself. Just released today, someone found this audio and played it, put it on YouTube. I posted it on ResonantRadio.com if you'd like to take a gander at it so you can hear it for yourself. But here, sorry about that. Here is the audio for you to listen to yourself.
I think that what we're going to have to do is somehow resuscitate the notion that government action can be effective at all. There has been a systematic, I don't think it's too strong to call it a propaganda campaign, against the possibility of government action and its efficacy. And I think some of it has been deserved. Chicago Housing Authority has not been a model of good policy making. And neither necessarily have been the Chicago Public Schools. What that means then is that as we try to resuscitate this notion that we're all in this thing together, leave nobody behind, we do have to be innovative in thinking what are the delivery systems that are actually effective and meet people where they live. And my suggestion, I guess, would be that the trick, this is one of the few areas where I think there are technical issues that have to be dealt with as opposed to just political issues. I think the trick is figuring out how do we structure government systems that pool resources and hence facilitate some redistribution, because I actually believe in redistribution, at least at a certain level, to make sure that everybody's got a shot.
So here is then, I mean, he wasn't candidate Obama, but here's a man who says, bottom line, that he believes in redistribution in 1998. Now, I want to put this in context. If the Washington Post can do a 5,000-plus words editorial on Mitt Romney and Mitt Romney's high school shenanigans bullying some young man who they allege is homosexual, and think that that's relevant, for the media to not think that a 1998 speech at college talking about he believes in redistribution isn't. We've got a big problem here, folks. We've got a double standard here. We've got a huge double standard here. And it needs to be addressed. Why are we not talking about the President of the United States who believes in redistribution? Why is that not a focal point of this media? Now, I'm going to throw this at Fox News as well. I'm angered at the fact that they've only allowed Mitt Romney to make these claims today about that report. Mitt Romney mentioned it three times in his interview with Neil Cavuto today at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm going to let you hear that interview in its entirety. And people have only scraped at the assertions by Mitt Romney, because it's not really an assertion. These are the president's own words in 1998. But here's his interview with Neil Cavuto.
Obviously, you've seen the fallout, the administration quickly coming back at you, Governor, saying that you essentially disdainfully wrote off half the nation. How do you respond to that?
Well, we were, of course, talking about a campaign and how he's going to get close to half the vote. I'm going to get half the vote, approximately, I hope. I want to get 50.1% or more. And frankly, we have two very different views about America. The president's view is one of a larger government. There's a tape that just came out today where the president's saying he likes redistribution. I disagree. I think a society based upon a government-centered nation, where government plays a larger and larger role, redistributes money, that's the wrong course for America. That will not build a strong America or help people out of poverty. I believe the right course for America is one where government steps in to help those that are in need. We're a compassionate people. But then we let people build their own lives, create enterprises. We believe in free people and free enterprise, not redistribution. The right course for America is to create growth, create wealth, not to redistribute wealth.
Governor, I mean, 47% of the people in this country pay no income taxes. Now, a lot of them, because they're retired, or they're elderly, or they're paying certainly payroll taxes and other taxes, but that 47% figure, which is about right, is it too high? Do you think that the level should be closer to what it was in the late 70s, where it was in the 20s? What is an acceptable level?
Well, first of all, of course, you're right. There are a number of retirees, members of the military, and so forth, who aren't paying taxes, and that says it should be. But I do believe that we should have enough jobs and enough take-home pay such that people have the privilege of higher incomes that allow them to be paying taxes. I think people would like to be paying taxes. The good news is if you're doing well enough financially that you can pay a tax. And the problem right now, as you see in this country, so many people have fallen into poverty, but they're not paying taxes. They have to rely on government. And the right course to help them is not just to have government handing out, but instead government helping people to get back to good jobs. Neil, the numbers on food stamps are really revealing. When the president took office, 32 million people were on food stamps, and now that number is 15 million higher, almost 50% higher. Now 47 million people on food stamps. You've got Americans falling into poverty under this president in increasing number, it looks like, on these food stamp figures. And I want to get people back to work. I'd like to see everybody who's not, you know, retired, not in the military, having the privilege of having a good job and a good income enough that they qualify to pay taxes.
Now, you said that your wording might have been inelegant, but others have said that you just kicked half. You and your running mate Paul Ryan talked about reforming Medicare and trying to contain its growth. Oddly enough, when you were on that team, it was helping you in Florida, say, rich in Medicare beneficiaries and Social Security beneficiaries. So talking tough on these issues doesn't necessarily hurt you with the group that benefits from them. So maybe you presuppose prematurely that this group was going to say no.
Well, let me tell you,
We go after every group we can to get votes, and seniors are, of course, people who I'm getting in large numbers. I've got great support from seniors because they're unhappy with the fact that President Obamacare cuts Medicare by $760 billion. We got a lot of from seniors. And
but
by
you
the
think
way,
those same
a lot
seniors,
of seniors,
but those same seniors,
a lot,
Governor,
a lot of seniors.
Go ahead.
A lot of seniors pay Neil, a lot of seniors pay income tax. And a lot of seniors have the idea that Medicare got cut $716 billion. So we're getting great support.
But a lot of those seniors, Governor, are in that camp that are not paying income taxes. And you might have, it might have boomeranged on you with an important day. Do you worry about that?
I was talking about the fact that I don't expect to get 60 or 70% of the vote. And I understand that some portion will be the president's. Some portion of mine. I have to get as many as I can from every single cohort of this country. But the intent that I want to talk about is that intended to be about whether we want a government that's larger and more intrusive and redistributing income, or whether instead we want a government that sees its role as protecting freedom and opportunity and letting free people build more wealth for all people.
Donald Trump has said that you have nothing to apologize for. The other day, so they have to get tougher for your campaign. They're going to lose this campaign. What do you think?
I agree with his counsel, and I think this focuses a great deal of attention on whether or not we're going to have a government that becomes larger, that tells us what kind of health insurance we have to have. But under the president, he's indicated he wants to raise taxes. Raising taxes on small business, about a million small businesses, that's going to kill jobs. Look, the president is borrowing $1 trillion more than we're taking in every year. It's a pathway that looks more European than American, in my view, and it's one which I know some Americans are drawn to. I think they're wrong. I think they don't recognize that it's not good for America at large. But 100% of Americans, in my view, will do much better if we have a government that lives by the model established by the founding fathers, and that was based upon freedom and opportunity.
Governor, we're hearing words that Jimmy Carter's grandson might have played an instrumental role in getting this video out, or at least trying to sway the mother Jones on the airport. What do you make of that?
I heard the deal, I'm not too certain about the source. This is a message I'm carrying day in day out, and because this is a decision about the course of America, and we're going to head. And we've seen that this is in power play out of the last year. And if people think they're better off, I would say, well, take a look at the number when it comes to median household income, which is down every year for the last 4 years. Look at unemployment stuck above 8%. Now, for the last 3 months. Look at what's happening on food stamps. Going up to 27 million now. There are a lot of people hurting in this country. The president's policies aren't working, and I'm not going to be too critical of how people get that message out. It's out there in a big way, and I think that will focus a lot of attention on the kind of choice I think America has.
Governor McMillan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, that interview. We'll talk about it some more when we return. Stick around. It's Radio. Be right back.
Is Bob. Bob is a normal guy. He has a good job. He works hard to provide for his family. And he tries to keep himself informed on current events. There's just one problem.
I don't think President Obama is doing a very good job.
Bob is a racist. There's nothing worse than having a racist around saying hateful things.
I don't think it's unreasonable for people to have to show ID when they go vote.
Whoa, Bob. Slow down with the bigotry for just a minute. People like Bob are still very upset that there's a black man in the White House. As a result, they oppose President Obama's policy.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time.
How could anyone oppose such great policies? They're awesome and are working super well.
But how do I talk about my political beliefs without being a racist?
Let's give Bob a few pointers on how not to be racist.
Did you know that under President Obama, more people are on food stamps than ever before?
Bob. That's racist. Just because something is true doesn't mean that it's not bigoted.
But how can something be racist if it's true?
That's a racist question.
We need to secure our southern border to stem the tide of illegal immigration.
Racist! Calling undocumented workers illegal simply because they're here illegally is proof that you hate Mexicans.
My adopted son is Mexican.
Doesn't matter. Still racist.
I see.
I like Barack Obama. He's a light-skinned African-American with no Negro dialect.
Now that's racist.
Nope, not so fast there, Bob. It's only racist if it's said by someone who doesn't support President Obama and his policies. Susie is a Democrat, so it's okay if she says it.
That doesn't make any sense.
Sure it does. A liberal can't be racist. It's not possible because liberals support the things that are good for the black community.
So a conservative and a liberal can say exactly the same thing, but only the conservative is racist for saying it.
Now you're getting it, Bobby. For example, when a conservative politician says something that's not directly racist, but is construed that way by liberals, he loses his job, like Majority Leader Trent Lott. But when a Democrat in the same position turns out to be a former Klansman, like Majority Leader Robert Byrd, he's a liberal hero!
It's all starting to make sense now, so I can say all sorts of racist stuff as long as I vote for the right people.
Right! So if Susie says,
I am so proud of myself for voting in the first African-American president in 2008.
Her statement has no racial implications whatsoever. But if someone says,
I voted for Barack Obama last time, but I'm thinking about voting for Mitt Romney this year.
That person is totally racist.
Hold on a second. How can someone who voted for Barack Obama the first time be racist just because they don't vote for him this time? They obviously didn't care about his skin color before.
Sometimes people don't realize that they're racist until later.
How can someone become a racist in 4 years?
That's a clown question, bro.
I'm so confused. I don't want to see the country go down the toilet, but I also don't want the people at work to think I'm a racist.
Well, remember, Bob, if the country is ruined, you can always blame it on George W. Bush.
You're right. I'm going to vote for Barack Obama because I'm not a racist.
Way to go, Bobby. Remember, racism in the workplace is never cool.
I'm Barack Obama, and I've never seen this ad. Didn't even know it existed.
A hidden camera planted in the girls' locker room at this Texas high school and set to record during halftime of a basketball game. Prosecutors allege Wendy Long, a mom, principal, and former school board member, did it not to see anyone changing, but to capture how her daughter's new coach talked to the team, because her girls complained he yelled too much.
The intent was to invade the other person's privacy.
What's more, prosecutors claim she had her 17-year-old daughter sneak the camera into the locker room and hide it. The grand jury did not indict her daughter, and authorities say the camera didn't record anything inappropriate. Still, Long was arrested, and if convicted, could face a $25,000 fine or even 20 years in prison. Her attorney tells ABC News she is surprised and disappointed by the charges and maintains no laws were broken. That's not how this mom sees it. Her daughter was in the locker room while that camera was recording.
I don't understand why somebody would go to such lengths to break a law to try to get something to go the way that they want it to go.
Long only got caught after someone anonymously sent the video to the superintendent and several board members. Her daughters already quit the basketball team. Now that their mother is facing a far more serious foul.
Blog Talk Radio.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
James, you're on the air.
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying.
The adult beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve, and it's called 211 for that matter, is that the police code... 211 means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
On the radio, and we are back, and we are live. JC, the producer, has joined us, and we're going to see how far we're going to get with the folks at the Real Talk Blancers right now. In fact, I'm going to put him on the air. He's got some online.
Have I had?
See how far we're going to get right now?
Nah.
JC, do they still have you on hold?
Especially not as an adult. Now, like growing up, I remember. This one chick never picked me, like, when we would play, when they would do the little, when you do the eeny, meeny, miny, moe type things or whatever, whatever.
Right.
And, however, however she would do it, she would always make sure she never landed on me. I'm like, I don't care. Sure.
It's another sad Negro calling themselves a victim. Look at this. She found her victimhood even involved in a eeny, meeny, miny, moe situation. She always found a way not to pick her. Negroes still find themselves as victims. Now, JC,
pick
I can't.
Her. She ain't going to catch
you.
There? Like, so what you saying? I can't run? I can run. I wasn't fat like that. They just wasn't used to all that thickness when I came from the VA up to the OH. They wasn't used to all that.
What you talking about? That's all we have down here. But this was just going
to
be
not when I first moved there. It was.
This is just awful.
So you gotta go away for the whole week. Yes, we'd be gone for a whole.
Okay, are you going to let the chorus? Are you going to get it to where the chorus comes in? That's what I'm going to need you to do.
Okay, let's
that's what I'm
going
to need you to find the chorus.
Okay,
that's what I'm going to need you to find.
I'm going to play the chorus right now.
These are supporters of Barack Obama, ladies and gentlemen. These are your Barack Obama supporters. And they don't make any sense. I want to let you know this is the state of the union. These are the people who are allowed to vote. Now the news on Barack Obama. What is it called? It's on the Lakeside Stand. Everything is some sort of Negro party.
Come along and ride along and happy party.
Come along and ride along. I couldn't be more stunned right now. We're going to try our best to get on the air with them
and see what it is that see whether or not they can defend the President of the United States in his current comments, which I doubt. I doubt that they'll be able to do that. But this is what they do. This is how they satisfy themselves. This is how they make themselves feel comfortable with the President of the United States. Just avoid it. Just avoid the issues. And this is what I'm angered about. This is the reason why I'm going on a new campaign. I am going to find the new terrorism. That's my mission today, folks. And this week, I'm going to find a new form of terrorism. Because that's what I believe that the liberal media is doing to us. I believe that they're terrorizing us. I do. Their intolerance, their indifference, their indignance. I believe that they are terrorizing us. And I'm going to find a way to actively and proactively terrorize the liberal media. To make them focus on the truth. I'm going to find an effective way to do this without harming anybody, without, you know, screaming fire in a movie theater. I'm going to find a new form of terrorism. And I think that's what we need to do. Here's the vote. Blame it on Bush. Stick around. We'll be back. Top of the hour coming up soon. It's Reese on the Radio.
Approaching Blaine Station, Hope and Change Street.
Hey, Mr. President, can you tell me just what happened? 'Cause you made so many promises, and now it seems you were just yapping. What happened to transparency? It's still as thick as fog. Did you really believe it? You could get us off the ground. Come on, you didn't mean it. You could spread the wealth around. You couldn't read the bills.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time, and the host will be notified that there is a call in queue. Otherwise, you can call the media to listen to the show.
Blame it on tax breaks, blame it on earthquakes, blame it on Wall Street, water by Caliche. Blame it on the rich, blame it on the poor, yeah, blame cream puffs or Michael Moore. Yeah, but it's sounding all the same. What are we supposed to do when the one you never blame is you? I didn't vote for you.